This is the Morning Conversation on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
From the Douglas Forest Protective Association, Rachel Pope is in the building here to talk about this part of fire season. How are you doing?
I'm good and happy to see you, Kyle. Thanks for having me.
Your first time in since we got into all of this. Now, how long ago did we start fire season?
Oh, it started on June 6th, so we're about 48 days into the fire season this year on the Douglas District.
Now, it seems, in contrast to some other areas in the state, that right now we've got some other big fires going on, that we've done pretty well so far.
I don't want to jinx us, but compared to last year in 2024, at this time we had already dealt with two back-to-back thunderstorms that brought one of the two large fires that we're battling with our partners to the East Umpqua National Forest, the Jack Saddle and the No Man's Fire. And so we're lucking out, but at that also means that we're sending resources all over the state to go help battle those fires that everybody else is impacted by.
Well, and you were able to even send some folks down to California a few weeks ago, right?
To California a few weeks ago? No, we didn't have anybody down in California.
Oh, I guess it was, well, maybe it was the Rogue Valley.
The Rogue Valley, yes. We had individuals down on the Grizzly Fire and helping out with that.
The same as California before I get in trouble. I used to live there. So
that's going to play into different budgets, Kyle.
Yeah,
okay.
People often, let's just put it this way. When I lived in Medford, I kept meeting friends who knew each other in California.
Okay.
You know, a lot of people. So anyway, but that's a whole nother topic. Let's stick with the fire season. So things have done, have gone pretty well. Now, how long have we been in high fire danger?
So we've been in high fire danger for about 13 days, counting today. Previous to that, we were in 34 days of moderate fire danger. Within the span of 48 days, we've had 32 human-caused fires that have burned about 73 acres. We have not experienced any natural fires. That is a low number and compared to our numbers from last year, but still, we could do better.
Now, what about your staffing this year? I know people are probably familiar with the fact that you guys hire additional folks to get through the fire season. How's that been going?
Every fire season, we fill about 120 positions, and this year we are fully staffed. We actually had an abundant amount of local individuals that applied this year, gave us the ability to really look at qualifications on the longevity of individuals that we placed in the seasonal positions right now. And so I just want to say thank you to the community and the support and for everybody showing their interest in working for the association. And I mean, that means a lot.
Now, last year, we had a lot of fires caused by humans. What are some of the things that lead to these fires where people, you know, don't intend to? And it's not just somebody with a fire that shouldn't be going. Sometimes it's vehicles and other things.
A large fire that we had last year that was very public was Milepost 98 down in the Canyonville area. That was vehicle caused. And so I really just want to continue to emphasize that vehicle maintenance is important, to tow within your correct weight limit. Is important to ensure your chains aren't dragging and causing sparks is equally important, and to avoid parking or driving on dried grass. That dried grass can touch your hot exhaust and catch on fire, and it just causes a lot of heartache for everybody dealing with the aftermath.
Now, and for vehicles that are out on the forest lands, you've got some additional requirements too, right?
Yeah, right now, while we're in high fire danger, there's time restrictions on when you can travel in those forest lands. A lot of private lands are closed to public access right now while we're in fire season. But for those that are out there, it is required to carry an axe, a shovel, 1 gallon of water, or in a 2.5 pound fire extinguisher. And just in general, with the ODOT layoffs and the uncertainty that we're looking at right now with road maintenance, and we're suggesting that everybody during fire season or even outside of fire season should carry a 2.5 pound ABC fire extinguisher in their car. We've actually had a lot of public that are traveling on the I-5C fire. They pull over and they extinguish the fire before we even are able to respond. And so it takes all of us to keep Oregon green. So thank you to those and those good Samaritans that do that.
Now, if you do buy a fire extinguisher, I think the key part of that is actually knowing how to use it correctly before there's a situation where you need to. I don't own one, but I know other people have bought one. Something happens, and they realize they really have no clue what they're doing, and that doesn't help the situation out, to say the least.
Exactly. Point the can away from you at the fire. And there's a lot of YouTube videos out there. There's a safety and a user manual that comes with each fire extinguisher. Also, you want to look at those expiration dates on the fire extinguisher and make sure that they're certified within the range that you're using them.
Maybe don't buy them at a yard sale.
Been
around for too long. And see, I wouldn't have even thought about the expiration. But that makes sense, that all the chemicals and all that are good to do what they're supposed to do for a certain period of time.
Exactly. You don't want to buy a dud fire extinguisher from a yard sale.
No. So what else can you tell us about what people ought to do to help out with fire season? I know you're still getting, I hear it every day, people mowing dry grass.
Mowing dried grass, yeah. I understand that they want to do lawn care. They think that they're doing a great thing by preventing fires from happening in their dried lawns, but there is a spark that can happen while you're mowing that dry grass. So I just like to remind everybody that we are in high fire danger. There are restrictions. You can get out there and cut that dry grass before 10 a.m. safely or after 8 p.m. Other than that, follow the regulations. Take advantage of the cooler weather this week while you can and get out there before 10 a.m. or after 8 p.m. But we are in high fire danger.
And, of course, it's different when you're talking about your in-town green lawn. I mean, we've got a sprinkler system. We're running up the bill, even as we speak, to keep the yard looking nice. So there, you're not, I mean, it's not dry grass.
Yeah, green irrigated grass, it's not restricted to cut that at any time. You're good to go. And there's also a rumor around that if you have an electric lawnmower that you could cut at any time. That is actually false. That is incorrect. If you have an electric lawnmower, those lawnmowers still have metal blades. Those metal blades is what can strike a rock and cause a spark and cause a fire. So those still remain restricted on cutting dried grass.
Now, what do you guys have this year? I know it varies year to year in terms of help via aerial support.
This year, we have our contract helicopter, 5 Mike Mike. He's locally famous by all the scanners and the Facebook pagers that follow him. He's here out of Myrtle Creek. We have him on. We also have Zero November Hotel, which is usually stationed out of the Kellogg area. He is through ODF Severity, but we can access him when we need him in the area. However, he's been allocated to help out on other fires and is pre-positioning out on the east right now, but they are predicted to have some thunderstorms roll in tonight into tomorrow, so we even sent some resources out to pre-position for that. We have our air attack, which is our own personal DFPA Cessna. That comes out of the Roseburg Airport, and they launch right now while we are in automatic dispatch, while we're in high fire danger. So our fire plane launches, goes up and tracks and looks for that smoke, and then helps coordinate all of the air resources that we have, and then also acts as an eye in the sky and coordinates and communicates with our ground ICs that are on the fires.
Now, the last thing I saw as far as tonight, it was basically Crater Lake area and kind of east and north and south of there. But you never know when something changes in weather pattern and suddenly it shifts more this direction.
Yeah, so we are always looking at that, looking at those weather patterns, watching how that's going to pan out. But this thunderstorm is predicted to really hit that eastern part of the Cascades. Like what we were dealing with last year is it kept slamming on the western part of the Cascades over the Umpqua National Forest. And that's what we were dealing with pretty much all throughout 2024. But this year, that seems to be how nature is playing out and is really affecting that eastern part of the state.
All right. For people to get the latest information on fire regulations, conditions, et cetera, where do they go?
Oh, go to our website at dfpa.net, and you can visit our Facebook page. It's Douglas Forest Protective Association. You could always call us on our main phone line at 541-672-6507.
All right. Rachel Pope of the Douglas Forest Protective Association. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for always supporting us, Kyle, and bringing the community news that's important.
8:40 at the Morning Report.